This is your host, Chris Bodie, on another episode of Becoming a Great Dad. Today we're going to be talking about empowerment, how to empower your kids to be resilient, to be confident, and most importantly, how to empower them through the roughest times in their life. Stay tuned for a lot more. Becoming a Great Dad website because I'm gonna go ahead and get the elephant out the room early. If you have subscribed to the podcast, have subscribed to it, you probably got a notification. Oh, there's a new episode that came out. This guy hasn't did an episode in however long. Or if you are new to the podcast, you'll notice, man, there's like a huge gap. I'm actually pulling up the site right now, becomingagreatdad.com, small little plug. And, I want to see when was the last time I actually did an episode. Give me a second. I know I probably shouldn't be doing this live on the podcast, but you guys are going to just bear with me. All right. So it looks like October 2021 and we are March 2023. So definitely way more than a year. That's when I last did my last podcast. And now I am getting back on the saddle with a brand new episode. And I'm sure you're wondering, Chris, man, what's going on with the big gap? It's very easy to identify. It's a thing called life, L-I-F-E. It definitely has gotten in the way. Not gotten in the way, I should say, you know, things have just happened. You know, life has its ebbs and flows. You know, I really had to spend a lot of time just surviving and emotionally and mentally just building myself up. Just me personally, nothing to do with fatherhood. Oh, well, no, actually, I would say differently. Because in the first season, I talked a great deal about, you know, your own personal emotional journey or mental health journey within yourself that would then help you become a better father. So, you know, I'm quite sure the year I took off just getting myself better has made me better. And I'm saying that reluctantly because I still feel like I was just telling my wife earlier today, I still feel like sometimes things are unraveling or I'm starting to see the cracks in the walls. And that's, you know, with me and also with just being a dad. But I do know this podcast helps dads out there. And like I've always said, I hope to talk about, you know, real issues that real dads deal with. So again, if you go back to the title, we can become great dads. So let's jump right into it. Today, I want to talk about something that just kind of hit me out the blue. I was just going to pick the kids up from grandma's house and I was driving back in the car. And, you know, sometimes I get these downloads of topics or ideas. And when I get them, I go, that would be a great thing to talk about, you know, on the podcast to the different fathers. And so today's kind of theme, and I'm sure I have a good title once I'm finished. I don't know what the actual title is going to be, but today's theme is going to be one word, and that's empowerment. And specifically, I wanted to talk about empowering your kids when they're going through a really difficult time, you know, or when they are really struggling in life. Because, you know, when I thought about empowerment, I thought, you know, it's really easy to empower kids when they're happy, when they have friends, when, you know, it's summertime, there's no school, there's no pressure, you know, everything's going good, you know. But man, what happens when, you know, as a kid, their life is just in the shitter, you know, and that happens a lot for kids. I know as adults that we feel like that happens daily for us, but you'd be surprised when you think, man, I wonder where my kid thinks his life is at or her life is at that moment in time. And so we're going to talk about empowerment. We're going to talk about what that looks like, you know, the normal ways, you know, what that looks like through adversity. And then I'm going to talk to you about some ways that I have empowered my kids, and not just, you know, the young ones. You know, I mean, I've got four, and their ages now, I'm going to go from top to bottom, right? 24, 17, 10, and 5. So if you just listen to the podcast for the very first time, I tell people I can give you the gamut of advice from young adult down to toddler. And if you listen to season one, you know, you'll notice as the kids grow older, the situations and the problems become more complex. So what does empowerment look like for a kid, you know, for a 6-year-old boy, for a 12-year-old girl? I kind of akin it to something, and I think this is an example that everyone, you know, boys and girls, men and women, can attest to. It's Super Mario Brothers, right? Remember in Super Mario, and if you haven't played the video game, I don't want to, you know, make it seem like everybody has, but if you haven't, in Super Mario Brothers, there's a character named Mario, obviously, and he has these power-ups. So for example, if he, you know, he starts off, you know, kind of tiny, kind of small, if he eats a mushroom, he grows bigger, you know. If he eats, I think it's a leaf, he can fly. If he eats a fire flower, he can spit fire. And when I think about those examples from the video game, I think they directly correlate to our kids. You know, when they feel empowered, they, just like Mario, he goes from being small to being big. You know, they, in a sense, they level up. You know, they feel a sense of confidence. They feel a sense of pride. They feel a sense of, man, I can do this, you know. And there's two different kind of empowerments. And I'm going to talk about, you know, one that I think as parents, we subconsciously do all the time. But it's the everyday empowerment. And, you know, sometimes we do it, I think, subconsciously and sometimes consciously. You know, a good example, like for me, when I was coming up, I think I was a preteen and we had just moved into a new neighborhood and my mom bought me a bike. And not only did she buy me a bike, but she gave me a bike and gave me some, I guess you would say, parameters, some rules, you know, and it was very simple. She was like, hey, you know, try not to go out in traffic, because we had like a highway that was a few minutes down from the house. You know, try not to go too far so you don't get lost. And that was basically it. She didn't even tell me to be safe, you know? And so I kind of was left to my own devices. You know, she didn't even give me a time limit. I just kind of knew when to get home. And man, that bike was, you know, I think for most of us coming up, right? If you got a scooter or a bike or skates, it was this sense of freedom. But it also was a sense of empowerment that she gave me to say, look, I'm going to give you this freedom with, you know, a small set of rules and you just go out and you do it. Now, here's the catch, right? Because that's empowerment. On the other side of the coin, what does empowerment, what does it manifest into for kids, right? What happens when you give them that? And I'm going to fast forward a little bit to my first day of high school, right? Now, you got to keep in mind, my mom was the kind of mom, you know, in elementary school, she would iron my school shirt, my school pants. She would even iron my school socks, y'all. My white school socks were starched and pressed, and she would lay them out with my belt and my shoes, you know, and she kind of really took care of me. You know, we had three boys in the house. She cooked often, you know, she made our place for us. And when it got time for me to go to high school, I think in her mind, she thought, all right, I've got another 4 years of getting him ready and getting him situated. And, you know, she would, you know, we didn't have an alarm clock when I was in middle school. She would yell. She would be at the bottom of the stairs and she would yell, Christopher. And it was just high pitched Christopher. And I'd just be like, my, but that was my alarm clock. And the empowerment, what that looked like was, you know, I remember telling myself, hey, you're about to be in high school. You're about to be in ninth grade, right? Let's strap it up, buddy. So, you know, my mom had set her alarm and she was all ready to get up and make me breakfast and see me off and have my clothes together. And I actually set my own alarm, forgot how I even got an alarm clock. I believe I might have woken up early enough to iron my clothes, eat my own breakfast. And so here's the kicker. The kicker was that, you know, I was always driven to school. But in high school, I had to catch the bus. I had to catch public transportation. And that was huge for me. Not because catching the bus was a big thing, but because I really had no sense of direction. So I couldn't tell you how to get down the street without somebody getting me there. And so I had to take two buses. I had to take, you know, a bus from basically my house to the center of the city and then from the center of the city to, you know, my school. And that was a huge thing for me. But, you know, throughout my life and throughout that summer, my mom had really empowered me. And I felt like I was old enough and I felt like I was, you know, I felt like I was ready to make those decisions. And I remember, you know, coming home from school that day and she was like, and I mean, keep in mind, this was pre-cell phone days, you know, she was like, Chris, I got up and you were gone. And I didn't know what happened. And I called the school and they said, no, he came here on time. And it dawned on her that I had gotten up and done all these things that she thought that she had to do for me. And I was able to do it for myself, you know, and that's, I think, the opposite side of, you know, when you empower your kids, you know, what that manifests like and what that looks like. Now, you know, earlier I said, okay, well, you know, there's a couple, I guess, everyday or kind of normal ways to empower. I'm gonna give you an example. You know, Bina, who's five, you know, when she takes her bath, I had for a long time, I give her a bath. You know, I will run her bath water. I will wash her off. I'll get the towel, wipe her down, go find her pajamas, and then, you know, get her dressed. And just recently, I said, you know what, B? I said, Daddy's going to run your bath water, but why don't you do everything else? And she was like, wait, what? See, I said, why don't you wash yourself off? You've seen me wash you 1,000 times. Why don't you go find your own pajamas? Why don't you get out the bathtub, dry yourself off, and get yourself dressed? And I could see in her face, she was like, yeah, bro, I'm not about to do, you know, I'm not about to do all that. But I wanted her to feel a sense of empowerment of, oh, wait, I can do these things by myself. Now, you may be thinking, oh, Chris, well, you know, that just sounds like you're trying to make her more self-sufficient. And yes, I am, you know, but again, I think the self-sufficiency, the confidence, the resilience is wrapped all up in empowerment. Because here's what happened. What happened is the next day, right, she was a little reluctant, but I ran her bath water. She got in the tub by herself. She washed herself. She got out of the tub by herself, which our tub is very high kind of tub, you know, so a lot of times I would have to take her out the tub and put her down. She got out by herself. She dried herself off. She got herself dressed and she gave me this look like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, I really did it. And she ran downstairs And she said, "Mom, did it all myself. Wash myself," you know. But it was just, it was this sense of a 5-year-old of, hey, I was able to do it. And that's, you know, that's what I call an everyday empowerment. You know, as parents, we do that all the time. I think we try to find little ways that we can make them more self-sufficient and we can empower them. For example, I know in my household growing up, right, a big empowerment moment was when you became a certain age. You know, so like you ever told your kid, well, you know, you're 13 years old now, so now you can do, 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 do. You know, just yesterday, Emmanuel, we were eating taco salad. And, you know, I normally fix the kids' food, you know, and put it in front of them. And he had finished eating. He said, "Hey, Dad, can I have some?" I said, "Yeah, sure you can." And he was waiting. I said, "Well," I said, you know, "you're 10. You can get up and go fix it yourself." Now, it's not that he couldn't fix him himself, but you know how kids sometimes, you know, there's a, you know, fixing a dish is a multitude of things. You know, you have to know based on how much food you have, what the correct, you know, time limit is on the microwave to warm it up. You know, we had cheese, we had, you know, taco sauce. You got to kind of know, hey, how much cheese do I need? Sauce do I need? Where do I get the, and it was all these different elements. But I said, "Hey," I said, you can go fix it yourself. You know, put it on 45 minutes. I'm sorry, 45 seconds, not 45 minutes, 45 seconds. And he was like, "Oh," he was like, "Yeah, I can do this," you know. But, you know, like I say, you know, for me coming up, age was, you know, that kind of rite of passage where, you know, you have these different empowerment moments, whether it's, you know, getting a bike for a first time or being able to drive for a first time or, you know, even something simple as, you know, being able to pick out your own clothes. You know, I mean, you think about it, for the majority of their life, 4, 5, 6 years, right? We pick their outfit out for them. There's a transition period where my son, you know, who was dapper as hell, by the way, you know, learned how to pick out his own clothes and outfit, you know, and my wife was able to help him figure out how to actually style himself, you know. So that's what I call the everyday, and I think the normal day-to-day empowerment, you know. And I think as parents, we should definitely look, we should look for ways, you know, to throw that in. But I think the biggest one, right? I think the biggest way to empower kids, and if you really want it to stick, and I'm talking about the kind of stick, right, where if you take, you know, spaghetti out the pot and throw it against the wall stick, okay, where you really want it to stick, it's empowering them through adversity. So what does that actually look like? What does it look like to empower them through a very difficult time in their life? I'm going to use basically 4 examples. And I think these examples from each kid, because I think it'll help you as a dad or as a parent really see, you know, how as they get older, there's a layer of complexity, you know, that comes about with the empowerment. And you can still do it. You can still give it to them, but you just got to have different strategies for each. And so, you know, let's talk about first the 2 ingredients, right, of empowerment when they're going through a tough time. And the first ingredients, well, the first ingredient is going to be a very simple one, a very easy one. But you got to know when and how to apply it. But the first ingredient is just simply going to be love. And I'm going to talk about, okay, well, what does that mean? Like, Chris, like to love them through that, right? I'm going to give you some good examples of what that means. And then the second ingredient is allowing them to come to their own conclusions and own decisions. It's basically giving them autonomy or helping them practice autonomy. And I actually looked this up because I was like, I don't know what the actual word for this is. I wanted to call it resiliency, but I was like, but there's an actual parental term. It's called autonomous supportive parenting. And, you know, what it simply means is, you know, handing them the power to make their own decisions. So let's get to the actual example. Again, I'm a visual learner. I wish this was a video podcast. I really don't, because I would probably stress about the video part. But let me give you some good examples via audio of empowering them through adversity and what the love part looks like and what the autonomous part looks like and how you need those two ingredients together. And again, I'm going to start with the youngest kid, right? Give you their profile, their problem, and then we're going to scale up as need be. So let's start with Bina, Miss Bina. She's the youngest girl. She's a pistol. She's 5 years old. Now, her problems or her adversities are sometimes very simple. Prime example. We were going for a walk last week. She likes to go on walks with me. She likes to take her scooter on the walks, and she likes to zip ahead. And this one walk, she's taking a scooter. And like most kids, there's a little elevation in the concrete, and homegirl's front wheels hits that part of the concrete, and she falls forward and she skins up her knee. Pause. Right? That's the problem or the adversity she had. Now, when they're little, the love part, right? That first ingredient, a lot of times is just simply physical love, right? It's just literally simply, you know, going up to them, hugging them, and saying, it's okay. It'll be all right. You know, I know it's very easy for moms. I know I've talked to some dads, and it's not easy for dads, for, you know, us to be, you know, the nurturing lovey-dovey type. My wife does it. I see it all the time. Something happened with the kids and she'll instantly go over and, you know, as she's talking to them, she'll hold them, you know. And as fathers, you know, we need to do that same thing, especially for girls. You know, I see with my young daughter, as soon as I embrace her, right, with that first ingredient, it's an immediate just rush of I feel safe. You know, again, she skinned her knee. That first ingredient is just that physical love part touch. Now, the second part of it is the autonomy part, right? Because you just can't give her the love part. I mean, what happens if tomorrow or the next week, right, we go on that same walk and the same thing happens? And Monday, she skins her knees up. Tuesday, she skins her knee up. You know, I like to employ something with all of my kids, and it's either one or two questions, right? One question will either be, okay, this happened, and what did you learn from this situation, right? That's the first question you can throw out there. Now, that question kind of works, you know, on all ages, all levels. And I'll kind of talk about that later on too. The second question, or kind of maybe a statement, is, okay, hey, this happened. What can you do the next time to make sure it doesn't happen? You know, I think the second question is a little easier when they're younger. So for example, you know, I held Bina, I hugged her, you know, I waited till she calmed down. And then I said, okay, BB, I saw what happened. You skinned your knee, you know? Hey, do you know you hit that part of the concrete that was elevated? She said, yeah. I said, well, you know, hey, what can we do next time to make sure it doesn't happen? She said, well, you know, the next time I can maybe, because the little lifted part was over to the right-hand side. She goes, well, I can kind of, you know, scoot to the left-hand side. Perfect. And so what I did, again, I gave her the autonomy and the power to help her, you know, for a five-year-old, make her own decision and course correct. Hey, if I'm scooting down a block and I see this big chunk of concrete lifting up, maybe I should scooch over to the left versus to the right. You know? So again, we have that first ingredient, love. Second ingredient, the autonomy supportive part of it too. Now let's skip to the next one. Now we have it again, right? You'll notice as we go up, it's a little more dicey. We have Emmanuel, age 10, boy. Now his problem was he collects Pokemon cards. And one day he went to school. Now he's telling me all this after school, right? One day he went to school. He had some Pokemon cards in his backpack, right? And a quote unquote friend of his wanted to trade him some Pokemon cards, but he realized, wait a minute, that card you have looks very similar to a card that was in my book sack, and I can't find it, right? I thought I had it with me, but do I, don't I? And a friend said, oh, no, no, this specific Pokemon card is my Pokemon card, right? And, you know, he said, okay. And they did some trading. And then later on, after school, when he got home, he realized, wait a minute. That card that I was worried about, it wasn't at home. That card was actually in my bag. That means that this kid who was my friend went in my bag and stole my card and then tried to trade my card back in this kind of weird, like rob or steal loopy trade back thing. That was his problem. And what's significant about this problem is that as he's telling me this, I start to kind of see his eyes well up. And I'm thinking, oh shit. Homeboy's about to lose. He's about to cry. And instantly I thought, wait a minute. I thought, man, this is a very significant moment in his life at 10. This is one of the first times that he has really gonna feel betrayal. Think about it. This kid who he, you know, spends 80% of his time with throughout the week, that he calls a friend, probably has shared, you know, all kind of secrets and stories with, stole something from him and then lied about it. So at 10 years old, he is feeling this betrayal of how could you? Now, I'm going to pause right here because I want to talk about the love piece. And I want to talk about this specifically for dads and young boys, because I think this is something that we do not do a good job at, that we need to do a better job at. And it's also embracing our boys and hugging them when they're about to cry or when they feel a certain kind of way or when they have emotion, right? Here's what normally happens. We see a little boy cry, and as men, what do? Right? Hey, don't cry. Hey, wipe your tears. Hey, it's okay. You know? I've even seen some dads say, hey, that's weak. Don't do that. You know, are you better than that? Hey, let me tell you, that's not it. Right? Our boys need to have emotions too. Right. Just because my little girl cries and right, it's easy for me to embrace her, doesn't mean that he doesn't need the embracing as well, too. And you may say, oh, well, yeah, he's older. No. They need the embracing at 5, at 10, at 15, and way further down the line. And so as I saw his tears well up, I went over to him and I just gave him a hug. I just gave him a hug, man, and those tears started to come out, and I felt it. I felt it. Now, as much as that hurt, you know, you can't stop the betrayal. You can't stop him from feeling that way. But, you know, I definitely needed to embrace him. I needed to give him the kind of love he needs. Now, on the other side of the coin, right? We talked about it. And actually, now that I think about it, that was two different kinds of love, because he's the kind of boy, you know, he needs to talk through his feelings and really get down to nitty gritty. So that was a perfect time for us to talk, just as men, you know, and then me hugging him and embracing him also made him feel safe. But then on the flip side of the coin, okay, well, you know, how do I support him in this time? Well, after the fact, I said, well, Ty, you know, I said that, you know, that's rough. That sucks. And I'm sorry that happened. And let me tell you something else, too, that I've learned as an adult is, you know, as a man, a lot of times we want to fix things, right? As his father, I wanted to drive down to the school, tell him, identify this thief kid, this robber kid, and go, hey, give my son his Pokemon card back. And then lean in ever so slightly and say, if you ever take another Pokemon card from him again, I am going to bleep, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleepity, bleep. Now, again, that's the fixer in me, okay? But I've realized sometimes just acknowledging, hey, I'm sorry that happened. I'm sorry you went through that, also helps. And then we talked about, okay, you know, what can we do? What can you do in the future so this doesn't happen? And again, going to that question, trying to get him to empower himself and figure this thing out, make his own decision. You know, one thing he brought up was, well, you know, I could just maybe not bring the Pokemon cards to school. It's a good idea. You know, the other part was, well, you know, what if I had some, you know, what if I did bring them to school, right? But what if I had some kind of secure way to hold them? And I said, well, you know, there's a little lock that you can get for your book sack, and only you can have a key to it. You can put it in the front part of your book sack, lock it up, and that way nobody can go in it. And his eyes were like, yeah, that's a great idea, you know? And so again, you know, it was that ingredient of love. And that ingredient of, hey, how can I empower him to, you know, still, you know, be a part of the Pokemon gang or group, you know, and still be able to trade, but, you know, not have to go through that betrayal again. Now, let's go one up further. Now I'm at Chris, who is our next son, and he's 17. And like I told you know, as they get older, situations become more complex. This actually was, Chris and I went, camping. You know, we normally go camping in the fall, and, he and I went camping, and, you know, we're sitting down by the fire and it's a beautiful moment. We're looking at the stars, and I could just, you know, I could see on his face, he just had this look of kind of despair. And I said, well, what's going on, Chris? You know, what's up? And, you know, he's in high school, so he had recently started dating this girl. And he said, well, Daddy, said, you know, he said, I just have been kind of feeling a certain kind of way. And he told me that a certain family member in his family wasn't very supportive and didn't like not the girl per se, but didn't like that the girl was a different race of him. Okay. Now, you know, let me just put this out there. If you have seen the site, you've seen a picture of me. We are from a black family, right? So my son is a black boy. His girlfriend is white, you know, and 2023 shouldn't be a big deal, right? But it really bothered him. He was really taken aback, and he was like, I don't, you know, he was like, I don't understand what the problem is. Like, it's like, you know, and the biggest thing for him was like, you know, he holds this person in such high regard. And so, you know, he realized, wait a minute, how could they think this? You know? Now let's talk about that first ingredient again, because at this point now, you know, you can't really hug that away. You know, I mean, I could embrace him. Yes. You know, obviously. But a hug is not going to solve the problem of, well, you know, I feel like this person is being, you know, a tad bit biased or, you know, prejudiced against someone I like. A hug ain't gonna help that. But like I said in the beginning, you know, you still give them love, right? But you have to apply it in different ways. For my two younger kids, yeah, they need the physical kind of love and affection to help that. When they get older, they need to understand, you know, hey, you know, they need the other kind of love. You know, there's acts of service, there's quality time, there's, you know, physical touch. I forget them, but I believe what he needed in that moment, I think he needed the affirmation kind of love, words. He needed someone to say, hey, it is okay. It is okay if that girl is black, white, purple, green. And, you know, I always like to interject. Of course, I'm a dad, some humor in it, because I was like, now, look, if she gonna be green, right, she got to be a fine green. OK. And that kind of lightened the mood a little bit, and we laughed. Right. And so, you know, he needed that self-affirmation of me telling him it is perfectly OK to date anyone from any background, ethnicity, race, as long as she makes you happy and you make her happy. So again, that was the love, the ingredient part. Now, on the flip side, it's like, well, how do you support that, right? It's not really a decision that he can make. You know, you can't really change that family member's mind or get rid of that person. But it's like, how can you support them? Again, the key word is autonomous support. And I said, well, look, you know, I talked to him about and helped him see that, you know, as you get older, as you become, you know, in your late teens, early 20s, you start to realize that family members are just people, and they will have their own opinions, their own bias, their own background, their own feelings. And frankly, they can be wrong. Even as parents, we can be wrong, you know. And we talked about that. We talked about how, you know, you can be respectful. You know, you can be respectful to your family if they feel a certain way, but you don't have to absorb, you know, their thinking. You don't have to absorb their feeling. You know, I was empowering him to say, hey, it's okay if they think a different way. You don't have to subscribe to that mode of thinking. And now the last one I'll talk about is our oldest, Heaven. She's a girl. She's 24. And again, just kicking it up a notch on the complexity level. You know, she finished with college, and she had been wanting to go back to school for a long time. And she got back in school. She was chugging along, and she texted everybody, hey guys, I'm back in school. I'm doing my master's program. Woo! And it was all yay. And the text messages was like, go have go, you know. And about a month later, she comes to me and she's like, Dad, she's like, I got a problem. I'm like, what's up? And she was like, I don't think the school thing is going to work. She was like, you know, I think I made the wrong decision in what I'm majoring in. I don't know if it's the right thing to do. I mean, I think it is, but maybe it's it, but maybe it isn't. And I'm worried, you know, what if I've made the wrong decision to major in this thing? And then, you know, I theoretically waste 2 years of my life and I figure out later on that's not what I want to do. And so I'm wondering, should I drop out of school altogether? But if I drop out of school altogether, I don't want people to look at me like I'm a fraud. Whew. Let me go ahead and sit back for a second. I'm gonna let y'all dissect that one. Right? That was a heavy matzo ball, heavy hev, you know? And like I said, the more we go up, the more balls we're juggling. And so again, I'm gonna go back to the empowerment piece, right? Because she was talking to me and she literally said, Dad, what should I do? What should I do? And you think as a parent, oh my God, my child is coming, ask me what to do, right? It's, you know, you feel this sense of euphoria because they need you. But let me stop you right there, right? Let me stop you. Because I have learned, you know, yeah, every once in a while you can kind of guide them the right way. But with these huge major life decisions, you need them to be empowered badly. You need them to make their own decision. Now with heaven, you know, heaven's not really a touchy-feely person. So, you know, it's rare that I would go up to her and hug her unless she's just balls out crying, right? But with her, I know what she needs. She needs, and I'm talking about the love part again, she needs a mix of quality time. And quality time for her is literally sitting there. I have gone down to the kitchen just going to get something to drink. And she needs to be able to have a sounding board to talk through her problems. And I have literally spent an hour and a half, 2 hours in the kitchen just talking through situations with her or just hearing her. Right? So that is the kind of love that she needs, that quality time of being a sounding board. And sometimes it's just to get everything out. Right? Sometimes she will dump to me over 45 minutes and just say, and that's my life right now. And it's nothing that I need to give a solution to. She just needs that type of love. Right? And so I sit there and listen to everything. And also listens to all angles and the pros and the cons. Now, I also think when you're older, I also think you do need to sprinkle, again, some affirmation on top of those things. Because, you know, think about for adults like us, right? When we go through adversity, there's not a lot of times when somebody's standing there ready to give us a hug. You know, yeah, maybe if you have a significant other, you know, they'll be there to embrace you. They'll be there to give you words. But everybody may not have that, you know. And a lot of times as adults, you know, we're kind of left to empower ourselves, you know. But if you do have children, what you can do, even when they're young adults, what you can do to kind of deposit into that bank of empowerment is sprinkle some affirmation to them. I tell Heaven all the time, even when, you know, her life is going to shit, I'll say, Hev, I said, I 100% believe in you. I'm positive that you'll be able to figure it out. You know, you're my daughter and you are wise, you're resilient. You're going to get through this. Just something very simple, right? Now, on the other side of the coin for her, you know, how do I support her in helping her figure out what decision that's going to be? Because that's, you know, because whatever decision she makes, it is going to, you know, shape the direction of her life for the next year or two, whether she stays in school, drops out of school. And again, I go back to, you know, the earlier questions, but I phrase them a little different, right? You got to kind of phrase it a little different when they're older. And I said, well, Hev, I said, what's going to be the best foundation for heaven? At your base, what is going to be the best thing for you to do? Regardless of who's going to think what, right? And oh, at the same time, she was also thinking about getting an apartment too, you know, so you got the financial piece of it intermingled with that, right? Regardless of, you know, whatever, what's going to be best for you? What's going to be best for you emotionally? What's going to be best for you mentally? What's going to be best for you, you know, physically? Whatever the case is at this time, right? Think about heaven in the now. What does heaven in the now need? And, you know, you can figure out the rest later on. And we talked about it, you know, she came to the realization that, man, I've got too much on my plate. I'm really spinning my wheels. I probably need to withdraw from my classes. I probably need to rethink my whole major and really figure out what it is I really want to get into, and then do a reset. So again, you've got those two ingredients. You've got the love and you got the autonomy. And no matter what age your child is at, right? My advice to you is to utilize those two tool sets, especially when they're going through adversity, especially because, again, that is the time I believe is that is going to stick for them. And what's going to happen is this, right? What's going to happen? And as you do all this work of loving them and loving them in different ways, as you do all this work of supporting them in their decision, what's the payoff, right? What's the return on investment? You know, you are going to raise a young adult, an adult, that at 20, 25, 30, 35, that is going to feel empowered to face the world and face any setback, any failure, any adversity head on. Think about yourself for a second, right? What if you had had that growing up? I think about myself, for example. You know, what if I had had the mix of those two ingredients and, you know, I definitely could have had a better perception about things. I could have had a better resiliency. The way I look and perceive things could have just been a lot better, not only for my mental state, but for my emotional state. And that's the payoff. And look, I know, I get it. You're probably thinking, Chris, that's a ton of work, buddy boy. Hey, I get it. But this is not the How to Be an Average Dad podcast. This is How to Be a Great Dad podcast. And so we want to practice, you know, doing things great dads do. And I mean, again, you know, not to say that you've got children of all different ages. You know, I just happen to have that and have to juggle that. But no matter what child your age is, try to find those everyday empowerment moments and try to find ways to empower them through adversity. And again, you want to start small. You know, they drop their plate of food and they start crying, or they lose their favorite toy, you know, or, you know, a boy that they like doesn't like them. Just find those little ways to empower them. And trust me, you're going to receive, you will see the return on the back end. So that's the episode. Thank you for joining me. As always, feel free to visit becomingagreatdad.com. We have all the episodes listed there. Share with the dad, share with a friend. You can find us on all the platforms, Apple, Spotify, you name it. We're there. And per usual, I definitely like to hear from the audience. You can actually leave me voice memos if you just want to download the Anchor app. I actually think they just changed the name today, so it might be Spotify for podcasters. But if you want to download that app, if you find or search for the Becoming a Great Dad podcast, you can actually leave an audio message for me. And if you like the show, let me know. If you have anything to add to what I'm saying, let me know. If you have any questions, I definitely this season want to start taking kind of audience questions, because my goal and hope is to have different dads on, different parents on, moms as well too, you know, and have actual questions from listeners so we can ask, so we can get, you know, more advice, more insight from everyone. And again, right, the goal is what? Being a great dad. So I thank you for joining me. Hopefully now that I've started, now that I've kickstarted back from my year and what, almost 6 months, year and a half hiatus, hopefully I will get back on the bandwagon. Till next time.